BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you.
Presented as always by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Evening, all!
So, Monday Night Raw. 3 hours of building to building, and then we reach certain peaks and valleys throughout this show.
Yes, we did.
I think that's the best way to put it. We built into different peaks, and then we came back down and built back up, and it's like a roller coaster ride.
Which I was kind of okay with.
I was kind of okay with, too. But the one thing I wasn't expecting was for Monday Night Raw to, well, start with a drum roll. How Raw started tonight. It was a really little bit longer drum roll, but I only have one that lasts like a second, so sorry. But the drum roll was for the new Raw General Manager, Brad Maddox. He welcomed us to the new era, the Brad Maddox era. And his first act is booking a Money in the Bank rematch, Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler.
Yay,
because they had a good match, and well, we'll get into what they happened tonight in a bit. Then out came John Cena. Cena welcomed everyone to the Mad Ox era, noting this is the only time someone else will be more hated than him. Maddox was a little bit upset about that, but Cena said it made no disrespect. He said the jury stood out on USGM, as he will give you a chance. Maddox thanked him and praised Cena for his strength, determination, how he treats those less privileged than him. So for the first time in WWE history, you, John Cena, will get to choose your opponent at SummerSlam, Brad Maddox said. Cena was kind of confused and said Maddox said he's going to bring everyone out and Cena will get to pick his opponent. We heard loud yes chants for, a certain somebody, which we'll get to in a minute. Cena said Maddox must be stupid because he could pick anyone from Doc Hendricks, Dutch Mantel, or even Michael Cole. And then he said he could even wrestle one of the Bella Twins.
I'm pretty sure he does that already.
I think he does that already. I think he's wrestled a Bella Twin once or twice or something.
Or every night.
Yeah. And then broke her leg. No. He was not responsible for breaking her leg. That we know of.
Actually, nobody knows how she broke her leg.
We'll probably find out on Total Divas, starting July 28th on E!
Wait, there's a Diva show? I had no idea.
Yeah, there's a Diva show. If you didn't notice, now there is one. This brought out the new Money in the Bank briefcase holder, Randy Orton. Orton told Maddox not to get too far ahead of himself because there's a chance Cena won't even be champion at SummerSlam. Orton said he's not going to make the same stupid mistake Cena did last year by announcing ahead of time that he would cash in, but also believes in being straight up. Orton said when he cashes in Money in the Bank contract, Cena will never see it coming. Which kind of means it will come out of, what, nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it kind of sort of means. Then, Lindsay. Well, we get interrupted by...
only town in the United States that Fandango is still fully over in.
Fandango. Fandango came to the ring and shushed Randy by noting that Orton will not be cashing his briefcase against John Cena because he will be but Fandango said there's only one man who the entire audience wants to see him take on Cena, and that is the name of Fon, followed by John Cena doing Fon Dong Go. Right into a right hand by Randy Orton. They brawled a bit. Maddox made the match. Randy Orton, Fandango. I enjoyed Fandango in this little bit. Him dancing around while trying to do his promo was fantastic.
I would agree, this was a nice use of Fandango here.
Because the crowd actually likes Fandango in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's like I said, the one town in the entire United States where Fandango is still over, so it was an appropriate use of him.
And to Fandango's credit, he had a hell of a match with Randy Orton.
He really did. He really did. It was a very nice match between the two.
This was fantastic. They went back and forth, hard hitting. We had a Randy Savage chant at one point, a Summer Rae chant, a JBL chant. Started doing the wave, I think, at one point. I think it was during this one. But the crowd was into it most of the time. They were really loud, really enjoyed this one. And then Fandango sold the RKO and... Yes, Randy Orton beats Fandango. Good stuff. It was a nice hot open to Raw.
It was. It really was. And what was interesting about this match, and really for a lot of the matches tonight, was they were long.
Mm-hmm.
You got some really good long matches tonight.
Mm-hmm. We did. So, we move on from there. Randy Orton celebrates, and then the cameras, well, switch backstage, and somebody is walking backstage and kind of, sort of, well, don't know where he's heading to, but he's just walking, and, well, here's what happened.
Baby, you're still mad, I know. But are you going to start talking to me at some point?
I didn't stop talking to you. Stop apologizing about what happened last night. It's time to move on.
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
No, you don't understand. It's time for me to move on. From you. We're done.
The relationship has reached its end.
Oh, Ziggler. You fool. You complete... total fool. good segment, but yeah, it's like, when he said, we're done, and he walked away from her, it's like, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I could keep saying. It's like, you idiot.
You don't cross a crazy chick.
You don't cross AJ, and you don't break up with a crazy chick with a badass for a best friend. And Dolph kind of learned this one the hard way.
Which we'll get to in a minute. Yeah, good stuff there. We then come back for break, and Mark Henry is in the ring. Henry said that Cena came as advertised as one of the greatest WWE champions of all the times. Henry said Cena gave it all he had in the ring last night. I took John Cena to his limits, and I came this close. And then we got a large "You tapped out" chant. And then he said, yeah, I did tap out. Got some sexual chocolate chants in the mix as well. And then he said Cena has a choice later tonight, and, you know, he's not out there to apologize, but he wants John Cena to choose him, well, as the opponent. Because he took John Cena to his limits once, and Lindsay, he will do it again.
No, he won't. Honestly, the whole time Henry was out there and he was delivering this promo, it's like he started, and the only thing I could keep thinking is, wow, he really just can't even be bothered with this. Like, you could just tell Henry didn't care.
Because, well, he lost last night, and, well, some people think that was an injustice. So Henry's talking, and then...
Sierra Hotel,
India,
Echo, Lima,
Delta,
Shield.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the Shield showed up.
My boys, they're back.
And, well, Mark Henry gave it a puncher's chance. He brawled with the Shield, and then, but eventually... one big fierce spear from Roman Reigns and a triple powerbomb was the end of one Mark Henry.
To which I have to kind of rant again. Roman, boys, stop hurting each other. If your partner is hanging off of Henry's back, don't spear him until he gets off of Henry's back. You almost killed Dean! And you need him!
Yeah, you can't really kill Dean. That's kinda... he's kind of important.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was like that moment where it's like, they set the spear up, Dean Ambrose is still on Henry's back, and Roman's like, okay! Boom! And they both go flying. It's like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
No. Don't hurt Dean! You guys need Dean. But I guess it's all fair because Seth tried to hurt Roman last night with a ladder, so I don't...
It's how they get along.
It must be how they get along. I don't know, but... basically, the Shield did what the internet wanted to do to Mark Henry last night.
Mm-hmm. And he got laid out.
He did get laid out. And they were very proud of themselves, so the Shield is back to their old tricks again.
Speaking of old tricks, they kind of referenced someone.
Yes, they did. They were heavily referencing a certain dead man and his brother, who, well, is laid up at the moment.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the first brother reference of the evening, but we'll get into that in a bit. We go backstage, Brad Maddox is talking to his mother, who's asking about his first night on job. Chris Jericho walked in. Jericho mocked Maddox's, you know, youthful looks in before offering the, you know, he's wearing the extra medium shirt, which is really tight on him, because his arms are growing. Then Maddox had a thought of a moment of clarity and said, Jericho... he thinks Jericho can get a shot at WWE title by, you know, trying to impress John Cena tonight. And the way to do that? There's one way. by facing Rob Van Dam.
And all you heard was this sound from Omega.
That's right. RVD versus Y2J on RAW. Commentated by JBL.
The night before Omega's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Amazing how that happens.
Completely.
Sorry, distracted. Bad, Lindsay, bad.
Sorry, had to.
Mm-hmm, I know. Anyway. So yes, RVD, Y2J tonight on Monday Night Raw. But up next, non-title action, Dolph Ziggler, Alberto Del Rio. Ziggler was over like you know what tonight.
Oh yeah.
And they had a hell of a match.
It was every good as it, or I should say, every bit as good as it was last night.
Yeah, it was.
You know, these two mix very well together, but then I think Ziggler mixes well with anybody. Just because he sells like he has no bones.
He is Gumby. And then out of nowhere, we kind of sort of heard a ring bell, and that kind of confused Dolph Ziggler, like, did I win? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then the camera pans over to the person who rang the ring bell, and it was, well, AJ Lee.
A very crazed and angry looking AJ Lee.
Dolph Ziggler then ate a kick from Del Rio for allowing Del Rio to pick up the victory. Yes, Dolph Ziggler loses to Del Rio, and then after the match, AJ climbs in a ring and just stares a hole into Dolph Ziggler. She walks over to him and just slaps the crap out of him. And she doesn't stop. She slaps the crap out of him and just starts screaming, "You broke my heart! You broke my heart!" And then, out of nowhere, that big man named Big E Langston shows up and, well, kills Dolph Ziggler.
Well, AJ sits in the corner and watches with glee.
Mm-hmm. So, Big E hits the big ending on Ziggler, laying Ziggler out. And then one final kiss between AJ and Dolph Ziggler. The crazy chick got her revenge.
Well, we don't know if she's done with him, but yes, for now, she has gotten her revenge.
For the revenge for this evening.
And I have to say this was really well done on their part, because it's like when he broke up with her and he had not had his match yet, it's like, okay, she's going to cost him the match.
Mm-hmm.
That's already a given. You knew that going in.
Right.
But it's how she's going to do it is the question. And at least I was kind of sitting there waiting for her music to start playing or something like that for her to skip down to ringside. And so the bell ringing and then they pan over to where she's sort of snuck out there because she's sitting there in a hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of figure she's been sitting there sort of covered up because the announcers never even mentioned she was there. So she must have snuck out, you know, at
they
some
have, they
point.
Have that, they have that little entrance thing they can get through and right to the where the ring announcer sits.
Yeah, so they did a really good job of getting her out there without her being noticed by the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And then had her do her little bit with Ziggler and walk away. So it's going to be interesting because obviously this is going to be a Ziggler-Langston feud.
Right.
How they play this off.
Mm-hmm.
And also who AJ moves on with next. Because, well, she's kind of crushing on the Shield, or she has been, so...
We shall see.
We shall see.
Now it's time to get back to more in-ring action as... Guess who's back, Lindsay?
The Ultimate Warrior?
No, well, he's in a video game. No. R-Truth is back with new hair.
Yay.
And that hair doesn't know favors because you can really see how far his hairline goes back now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So R-Truth in the ring makes his Monday Night Raw return...
yes, he was not the truth they were seeking.
So they... Rowan and Harper came down. They beat up on R-Truth. Then they gave a look to Bray Wyatt. And then Bray Wyatt got up off the rocking chair and came in the ring and picked up a microphone.
They've been lying to you, man. There ain't no such thing as a hero. Not anymore. But you have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero is. You've become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. You think you need someone to pat you on the back. You think you need someone to tuck you in bed and not kiss you on the cheek and tell you that everything is all right. But everything is not all right. What if I was to tell you that the man who made you is a liar? What if I was to tell you that your own flesh and blood turned his back on you? I will never turn my back on you. And maybe the answers you seek have been slapping you right in the face. Or maybe, just maybe, I, Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds, have been the answer all along.
Wait a minute. R-Truth back up on the ring. I don't think this is a wise idea, but
he's got a chair.
He does have a chair.
Oh, R-Truth. You stupid fool. R-Truth right at this point is basically, you know, challenging Bray Wyatt to the fight, and he kind of accepts the fight.
Well, the two big bastards are stopping him.
Mm-hmm. As you can hear in the background.
Not a good idea. Don't trust him.
They're ready to fight. I can't skip through the audio, so I'm just letting it go. Because I don't know where it begins again. So, we're going to talk over it. So, yeah, that was a fantastic promo by Bray Wyatt so far. And then this beatdown was tremendous. The only issue I have with this beatdown is Bray needs a different finisher.
Wait, what's wrong with this finisher?
No, it doesn't seem as impactful as it should.
I think they shot it wrong.
I know the move. I've seen it 1,000 times. It needs a different move. It's standard generic wrestler finisher at this point.
Well, they'll work on it with him, but it's kind of a nice touch that he kissed Truth on the head
before doing it. Yeah. So the beatdown happens, and then Bray picks back up the microphone.
You are not the truth we seek, Cain. Follow the buzzard.
Who did he say again?
I believe he said Cain. So
Cain,
it seems the
follow the buzzard.
Follow the buzzard. So the feud is continuing. So we have Kane and The Undertaker being mentioned during the Shield segments, and we have Bray Wyatt taunting Kane, who is somewhere not there right now.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about this segment, because I don't want to get in depth with it while it was still playing, was that when Bray got on the microphone, you had the crowd start to do the what chant.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of it picking up steam, it lost steam, and you start to hear it wane out.
Because the simplest way to stop that chant is basically don't pause.
Right.
And if you don't pause and start your, you know, cadence towards it, it goes away, and Bray just kept talking through it.
And that was really kind of awesome to see, where he was like, where he just kept going. He wasn't fazed by it. He wasn't fazed by the crowd. He cut an absolutely tremendous promo, and I think it's something of the crowd almost didn't know how to take him. Mm-hmm. Because it's, again, it's something that we haven't seen before, and he's extremely out there. They're very different. They are not generic. And it's like people actually started to shut up and listen to him and listen to what he had to say.
And that the sermon he delivered was fantastic.
He definitely is one of those that he should be kept out of the ring, and you should really leave it to Luke and Rowan and let them do the fighting, let them do the beatdowns, and have Bray every once in a great while get in the ring, but have him do the talking, because he's stronger. He's as good in the ring. If you've seen him wrestle, he's just as good in the ring as he is on the mic, but for them, he is more impactful on the mic.
Right.
The only issue was it's three southern white guys beating down a black guy. But other than that, this was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Fantastic stuff. So we come back off of that, and then it's time for We the People, the real Americans. Americans.
These shirts are made in China, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I did notice that they changed the background for them. It's now red, white, and blue. So that's a start.
The Gadsden flag is still being shown.
I didn't see it.
It's still shown in their when they do the video promos and that kind of shit.
I think they're slowly getting away from it.
I think they're slowly getting away from it, too. It's either not having the impact they want, or there's too much of an outcry because of it.
But at least they've gotten off the Tron, so that's a start.
Yeah, that's a start, and slowly will fade away, but still, it's just like, it's more, God, I can't believe you were stupid enough to do that.
So, we the people get to vote for who the real Americans get to face. Fitting how that is. So 55% of the WWE Universe chose the Usos for Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro to fight, and, well, the Usos won. You just look at Antonio Cesaro in this match, and you go, he's so much better than all the other guys in this match.
Pretty much, yeah.
You just, like, he's leaps and bounds above them, and it's like, wow, okay. But so be it. The real Americans wins win the match. Or lose the match, rather, to the Usos. Up next, we have Damian Sandow. And boy, was he enjoying carrying around that briefcase.
He was so proud of himself.
He was soaking in the ovation from the crowd. And his opponent? Christian.
This was a nice little match.
And with a roll-up, Christian beat Sandow. Kind of surprised. Figured Sandow would have gone over, but was not to be. So Sandow takes the defeat. He's upset about it. And then, well, he announced. And still, the savior of masses, the Money in the Bank winner. And there's Cody Rhodes.
And I know at least I was going, go Cody!
Cody stormed the ring, beats up Sandow. Sandow is able to get away. But Rhodes...
No. He didn't beat up Sandow. He took Sandow to the damn woodshed.
Okay, yeah, he did. So Cody Rhodes beats up Sandow. Sandow escapes. Christian gets the win. Looks like we're getting something down the road between Sandow and Cody. So, there's that. And then 1-800-FELLA showed up. Yeah. That was a really long commercial.
It was a really long commercial, yeah, but it was funny. Basically, Sheamus killed a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Kane Kittens, AJ does look completely insane. We're getting crazy AJ again, which is going to be awesome.
So, we move on. Brie Bella took on Naomi. Solid match?
I actually enjoyed this match, which is rare for me to enjoy a Bella match. Naomi was extremely impressive.
Mm-hmm.
She really, really was. Girl can go.
Naomi can go, and Brie sold for her, which was good.
Yeah. I mean, they were doing, and this was a, for once, it was a very tight match.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't a lot of missteps, there weren't a lot of botches, the moves that they were pulling were not the typical diva spots, they were actually, oh my god, wrestling.
And the match ended with a big cross-body splash off the top rope, allowing Naomi to beat, Brie Bella.
Go Naomi. And then they danced afterwards.
Well, yeah, then that's what they do. we then get a recap of everything that happened last night on between Punk and Paul Heyman, including 13 staples put in the head of CM Punk, and sadly, we don't have the audio yet. You fail me, WWE.
Fail.
So, here we go. Punk is in the ring. Loud chants for CM Punk. Punk opens up saying he knows Paul Heyman is in the building, and he knows Brock Lesnar's in the building. He's not waiting anymore, so come on out. And then Paul Heyman walks out onto the stage. Heyman says he's looking at an empty ring right now. Why? Because in his world, CM Punk does not exist. Shot number one there. Heyman asks Punk if he's lying when in 2005 WWE had no vision for CM Punk. CM Punk was a figment of Paul Heyman's imagination. And what do? I took you in. I befriended you. I taught you. And then we reach the Holy Grail together. We were the reigning, defending champion for 434 days. We were the longest reigning WWE champion in the last 25 years. We came an inch, within an inch of breaking the Undertaker streak at WrestleMania. We, CM Punk, we were the best in the world. Heyman said without him, there is no we, and without him, Punk is not the best in the world. Heyman said, people accuse him of being Judas, but here's the truth. The truth is a lot harder pill to swallow, Mr. Straight Edge. Then the spin on things. The truth is, you failed us when you couldn't defeat The Undertaker. Heyman said, Punk went home, found himself, and came back to WWE, thinking he was better than him. Heyman said he lied to Punk, manipulated him, and played him because Punk can never claim that Heyman dumped him because history will write that Paul Heyman dumped CM Punk. And the pipe bomb continues. Heyman said the truth is Punk has no family. He said he's estranged from his own mother and father. You have no wife. You have no children.
You have nice touch.
You have Alita, but no one mentions that. All you have is them, the WWE Universe. Heyman said all Punk has is the crowd's respect, admiration, and affirmation. As the crowd picks up the cheers for Punk, the crowd quiets down. Heyman said all Punk wants and craves and needs is the WWE title. You took my best friend away from me. I took your chance at the WWE Championship away from you and each and every one of them. Heyman said Punk is going to find out how much worse he is personally than professionally. Punk said, Heyman said Punk even made him swear on his children that he was telling the truth. But Heyman's own children made him see the light that Punk doesn't listen to him like Brock Lesnar does. And then in part of the promo, he basically used in the children's voice, "Daddy, why doesn't CM Punk trust you? Why doesn't he listen to you like Brock Lesnar does?" Heyman said why he double-crossed Punk is the harshest truth of them all. "I betrayed you because, CM Punk, you can't beat Brock Lesnar." CM Punk then finally ready to speak his piece. "You want to talk about the truth?" Punk asked. Punk said maybe he should have seen it coming, but he trusted Paul, and now all he has to show for it is 13 staples in his head. But another truth is Heyman knows him better than anyone. He said he will not stop until he gets what he wants, and the truth is, Paul, I'm going to get you. This time, I swear on your children that I'm going to get you. Punk said he will get every single one of Paul Heyman's associates who had knowledge of it, who enjoyed it, or even conspired against him, clients, family, friends, anyone. I will get my hands on them, I will rip apart, and I will hurt. You want the truth? The truth is you don't have a future because I'm going to burn everything around you, and I'm going to keep you alive long enough to hurt you the most of all. Punk asked, So tell me, you son of a beep, am I lying?" Heyman replied that Punk isn't lying, but he has Punk's immediate future in mind. And before we get to that, holy crap.
I want to have this segment, children.
Like, I'm trying to do this promo justice, but holy crap, Paul Heyman was simply gold. And so was CM Punk.
This moment, and I will call it a moment because promo does not do it justice, segment does not do it justice. This was a moment where you have two people who know what they're doing tell a story. Mm-hmm. And you started it right where you have CM Punk walk out and he looks like he's ready to kill someone. Mm-hmm. And it's not that crazy kind of kill. It's that gnarled, grisly look that it's like, I'm going to hurt you in your face kind of look. Mm-hmm. And he's in the hoodie, and he's very dark. He's very serious. It's not a side of Punk we see very often.
No.
And it's the first time in a while that you've seen Punk really show any kind of genuine emotion like that. Mm-hmm. For a while, since he came back, he's kind of been coasting. And now we're seeing really this pure anger from Punk. And it's this silent kind of rage. Mm-hmm. And then you have Heyman walk out.
And dropped the pipe bomb.
And Heyman just starts talking. Mm-hmm. And you really can't do anything but sit there and watch and listen. You really, really, really can't. Because he weaves the story, and he threw in the really nice touches about the fact that Punk is estranged from his family.
Fitting timing, too.
Very fitting timing. Oh, I'm sure the timing has everything to do with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he throws in the fact that basically, because I said it last night, where it's, I would love to see Paul Heyman basically say, I made you.
And
you owe me everything.
And guess what? You got that part right.
I got that part right, where Paul Heyman says, you would be nothing without me, and what do? You kick me to the curb. Mm-hmm. Screw you, I'm going to take my revenge, and I'm going to use Brock Lesnar to do it. Mm-hmm. This was, if they get this up online, if you can find a replay of it, go find it. For anybody that is a fan of this industry, of this sport, of whatever you want to call it, go watch this promo, because it is a moment where you have two master craftsmen of their field putting together something that is just pure magic.
And it didn't stop there.
No, it didn't.
Paul Heyman got on his knees, drew a little circle, shouted out, "It's clobbering time." And you know what that means. Business just picked up. And Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, holy crap, they just went after one another. And it's like, everything Brock Lesnar did, he would throw Punk around, Punk would get back up, Punk would fire back with shots, every single time. Should say that it started with Heyman coming in and, you know, hitting Punk from behind, and Lesnar pulled him out, and that's how the fight started. But they just brawled for a while. Punk kept getting back up. And then Brock gets, you know, throws Punk into the announce desk. Punk gets up, jumps on up Lesnar, and then gets rammed into the post. Lesnar picks him up and delivers an F5 onto the table.
Which looked like it hurt like shit.
Mm-hmm, because that table didn't give whatsoever.
Nope.
And then
he has bad luck with that.
Mm-hmm. So Punk gets laid out, Lesnar and Heyman leaves, and on the way out he says, "Stay out of my life, stay out of my way." SummerSlam sold.
Yeah, it's... yeah, they don't really need to do anything else, honestly. It's just like, sold, take my money, this is perfect, because you're putting CM Punk in the ultimate underdog position, which is brilliant, and you have him really showing such a fire and an intensity and a passion, and it's really something that we have not seen from him in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about, this goes back to really the pipe bomb that he dropped now 2 years ago. Kind of fire.
Mm-hmm.
This is the CM Punk I love to watch. As much as I love the smartass, as much as I love him when he's joking around, this is the guy to watch, because it's just, he brings it in the segment, and LeMans made a really great point in the chat where he says, the story actually feels personal and it's awesome. It does. It feels personal. It feels real.
Because it is.
I guess it is. You have two former friends that are now going to blows, and they are each other's own worst enemy, because Paul Heyman knows CM Punk, and CM Punk knows Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is Punk doesn't know Brock.
He's going to find out about Brock. SummerSlam. It's coming. We come back from break. Plug for Total Divas. Deal with what's happening. Backstage, John Cena talked to the Great Khali. English, please? Anything? I couldn't understand them.
They showed off Cena's newly acquired language skills.
Mm-hmm. Then we continue backstage, and we wind up in the general manager's office.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hi. How are
you? Yep. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Hey, Brad.
Stephanie.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. So good to see you.
Good to see you. So, how's everything going?
It's going well. I think so.
You know, I was a little worried about you last night. I've got to say, this is your first night as general manager of Raw, and you know, well, what do you think?
I think it's going really well. You know, the first day on the job is always tough.
I'm sorry, Brad, but I wasn't actually asking you.
Oh. What do you mean? Hey! Triple H! How you doing, sir? Good to see you.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good. Really good.
To answer Steph's question, I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
So far.
right. Well, thank you.
It's only your first night.
Yeah, and show's not over yet. But, hey, I did have a question for you. Did you by chance talk to Vince today before you came
made
here?
All these decisions?
Well, I wanted to, and I was trying to find him, but I couldn't reach him. And I was...
Yeah, that happens on Monday a lot. I was just curious, because it's a pretty gutsy decision, what you did, especially knowing how Vince feels about those things.
What do you mean?
You know,
not making decisions yourself, leaving it in the hands of others.
Like the superstars on the second biggest pay-per-view we have, SummerSlam. It's the biggest pay-per-view of the summer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a huge gamble.
Especially if Cena picks who we think he might pick. Which, by the way, we would love, you know.
No, I think it would be phenomenal, but I don't necessarily think that if Cena does pick who we think he will pick, that Vince will feel very good about that choice.
No.
No, and
maybe
especially kind of the edgy nature of how you were hired. I mean, you know why he hired you, right?
No, because I was the right man for the job.
Because you were the only guy standing there at the time.
But regardless, you're the man. You're the general manager, and you know you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
So far.
Yeah. No. Listen, I think it's all going to work out great. Good luck in your future endeavors tonight.
Thank
good
you.
Luck.
Thank you.
The look on Brad Maxx's face when he was just in the best of his luck in his future endeavors tonight was priceless.
It was awesome.
That was some great comedy between the Steph and Hunter. That was great.
It was a really nice good cop, bad cop, because you have Hunter just being the dick that we all know he can be.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Steph who's really kind of sort of being that fake sincere, trying to be nice. And it's like you can already tell she's going to be the one that's going to turn.
Mm-hmm. But damn, that was good.
It was a nice little segment.
Then, for Omega's birthday, Rob Van Dam versus Chris Jericho.
Yeah. And again, Omega, you can really stop squeeing now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an hour. You can stop squeeing now.
A 21-minute match.
Oh, God, this is pay-per-view quality.
Mm-hmm. And this was stiff as all hell.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Some of those kicks Van Dam laid in on Jericho, you just heard it. Thuds, and it's like, ooh. We saw him cannonball off the top rope. We saw lion salts, walls at Jericho. Oh, it's a great, great match. They really, really, well, goes to show you that, well, Van Dam is back, and he's back in WWE for a reason.
Yes, he is.
And Rob Van Dam hits the 5-star frog splash on Chris Jericho and got the victory. Rob Van Dam is back.
Hey! Yeah, there's not a lot wrong you can say with this match other than, oh my god, yes.
It was a hell of a
21
match.
21 minutes on Raw. That's unprecedented.
Mm-hmm, for your main event. Pay-per-view main event on Raw. Goes to show you, WWE's going to miss Jericho when he goes away for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, just a bit. Uh-huh. But you know what? We got our money's worth.
Mm-hmm. Main event segment time. John, you have all the WWE superstars just about on the entrance ramp. No Mark Henry. And no Shield, apparently. I didn't see them, unless they were in the crowd.
They were hiding from AJ.
So, John Cena comes out, walks down, and says it's time for him to announce his opponent for SummerSlam, but he hasn't made up his mind. He cannot make the pick because he's not made the decision yet. Cesar, he listens to superstar after superstar make their pitch, but he's left out the most important voice in all the WWE, and that's the fans, the WWE Universe. Cesar says he knows that they don't see eye to eye, and the crowd is tough on him, but the reason why their voice is so important is because the toughness is honesty. And he would like to make a decision for a match they want to see, and the loud yes chant and for Daniel Bryan. And now he said the crowd's getting a hang of it. He said he's going to keep it this simple. He's going to list some names, and you tell him what you think. First, their birthday boy, Heath Slater. Boo. How about the entire three-man band? Boo.
Yeah. WWE memes guy will not be happy about that. Nope.
What about Randy Orton? Mixture of boos and cheers. What about the Great Khali? Boos. And the Great Khali's face when his name was mentioned, and he just stood there all, yay, hi, I'm here, hi, great to be here. It's tremendous. And then he goes for Del Rio, got some boos. Why would Del Rio want a shot at Cena? He's the world champion.
He was going to say, Del Rio should have been disqualified because he's the world heavyweight champion.
That's what I thought from the beginning. Anyway. Cena then asked about Chris Jericho. Crowd wanted Jericho. What about Rob Van Dam? Crowd wanted Rob Van Dam. They start chanting his name. Cena then asked, what about Fandango? Mixture. Cena says he doesn't have his own...
Wait, before we continue, I just want to say, is it wrong I would have laughed if Drew McIntyre would have pushed Fandango off the stage?
I think everyone would have.
Just pointing that out. Anyway, continue.
Cena says he doesn't have his own hotline, but they're Sheamus, and the crowd booed. Then they asked about Ryback. No, for Ryback. Cena finally asked, he asks, who's he forgetting about? And we got a large yes chance. Cena says, there are a lot of great selections, but he's made his decision. Cena says, this individual deserves his opportunity. But he was the one, then he was interrupted by a loud Daniel Bryan chant. Cena seemed annoyed by the crowd interrupting him, was kind of. He said he respects the beard and continued. He said he thinks this will make SummerSlam an awfully special occasion. He said, if this man chooses to accept his challenge, then he selects to face me for the WWE title at SummerSlam. And he selects Daniel Bryan. And then, oh look, out of nowhere, Daniel Bryan just pops out of the crowd. Like, you couldn't see him on the stage, but he just pops out, and his music plays, and he starts chanting yes, and the crowd starts chanting yes. The crowd goes crazy. Cena just stands there as Daniel Bryan yells yes in his face over and over and over and over as the crowd gets louder and louder and louder. And we have our SummerSlam WWE Championship match. Daniel Bryan and John Cena.
It's actually kind of sort of a nice, I don't know if analogy is the right word. Possibly a metaphor would be better for the landscape of the WWE and the fact that you have all, you know, these tall, defined, muscular guys. They're all in front. And Cena calls his shot. He wants Daniel Bryan. And then Bryan, this short, furry midget, pops out from all these guys. You have not seen him the entire time because he's been dwarfed by these people. Mm-hmm. And he pops out, and he's the one with the title shot.
Mm-hmm.
It was really kind of funny and apropos at the same time. And awesome.
So there you have it. Daniel Bryan is your number one contender for the WWE Championship. My only issue with this entire segment, why was Chris Jericho standing next to Ryback?
Why was Jack Swagger standing next to Alberto Del Rio?
I didn't catch that one, but yeah. When I saw Jericho and Ryback, I was like, what the fuck? But yeah, hell of a finish. The crowd gets what they want. The people get what they want. The internet gets what they want. Daniel Bryan, John Cena, for the WWE Championship.
This is a really nicely well done segment. My only issue with it is that it feels just a touch lazy, and I don't want to frown on the fact that Brian got the title shot, because he does. He completely deserves it. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of a story told, and maybe we'll get one. But I really, really hate where they start the match first, or they make the announcement of the match first, and then that's what they build the feud around, mm-hmm. as opposed to getting to the point where they're going to have a match, where it's, we cannot settle this any other way than by getting in the ring and beating the crap out of each other.
So when I tell you this, there's probably a story being told. A story's already been told, but we haven't seen it yet. Kind of thing.
I don't want to have to watch Total Divas to get the story behind this match. And you know what? Honestly, if that's the case, they could have played parts of it out on TV.
And they probably end up well.
And I am curious to see if the Bellas play any factor in this feud. Because it's well known now, and it's going to be known when the show comes out, who they're dating, and, well, their boyfriends are sort of feuding with each other right now. And how is that going to affect things?
Looks like we'll find out coming soon to a Total Divas show near you. Ta-da!
This was, it had its ups, it had its downs, but the ups of this show were really tremendous.
We got a good opening match, we got a good closing match, we got a great middle, there's too many words to describe the Paul Heyman CM Punk segment. We got a great segment with the Wyatts. The Shield looked back to themselves. Everything seemed in place. We got crazy AJ back. Like, there's really no negatives on this show, really. Cody looked good.
They came out of Money in the Bank, and they answered some questions, but they didn't answer everything. And the rest of the answers will probably get on SmackDown, which is a really nice touch. And they're starting to build to SummerSlam, and we're getting some interesting situations. And what's nice is you don't necessarily know, in some cases, where they're going mm-hmm. with it.
You kind of see a direction, but you don't know the story.
Right, and you don't... And that's always good, that you don't know how they're going to get there.
So that's Raw, everybody. 3 hours of Raw condensed down to about an hour for you folks. Good show. Hot show. Really hot crowd. That helps a lot.
Yeah, this was a good crowd for them to have tonight. Very good crowd. So, thank you, Brooklyn.
Thank you, Brooklyn. And out of it all, like, it's Brooklyn. Where was JTG? You know, his theme song goes, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, and there was no JTG on the show.
I don't know, but we got a Brooklyn Brawler sighting.
He also wrestled on Superstars. He gets killed by Ryback, but he wrestled on Superstars.
And we also got a writer sighting.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it?
But what will be interesting is, well, Raw is in Austin next week.
No, are they? No.
Yeah, 22nd.
Huh. Austin.
They're in Austin next week.
Austin, Texas.
Hmm.
It's going to be the return of the Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, no.
No?
So if something's going to happen with the Shield or the Wyatts, well, it may happen next week, so tune in. Because you may or may not next week get to hear me squeak.
So if that isn't a teaser, I don't know what is. That's it for the Raw Post Show. We'll see you next Monday night for another edition of this very show tomorrow night. It's KFA Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at 9 p.m. Eastern. Shane Helms and the Radiant Rain will be on the show. Wednesday night, TP Radio, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, with Scott Merriman and Forsina. They want your Mount Rushmore on ECW. Thursday night, The Rack.
Yes, tune in. We will be talking all about Money in the Bank, giving our highs, lows, goods, bads. We'll be talking about TNA Impact. We have news. We have discussions. If you missed it and you've been living under a rock, check out our interview that we did with the one, the only, the Louisville Slugger himself, James E. Cornett. It is in the archives now. Talk to him for about 40 minutes about a variety of subjects. So tune in, listen to it. It's fabulous. He's awesome. And find out if he did, in fact, catch the WrestleMania bus.
11 p.m. Eastern, RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, 10 p.m., it's Cards Against Humanity. Midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. Weird, wacky than usual. Do the host even remember being on a show? Tune in. Sunday night, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with Mace, Mega, and Tim Stein. This I know, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling will be discussed. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, WTRProductions.net. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, which will have a new layout debuting soon. And to follow it will be CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. And of course, check out my DeviantArt, LinsWard.deviantArt.com.
Not Behance.net/LinsWard.
Well, I can only plug one at a time, so.
Well, there you go. So, for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Monday night for the Rock Post Show. See you Thursday night for the Ward winning The Rack. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks to PW Media and MemlinePromo.com. Good night, everybody.